from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Whether the action is at the link or the bank, there's never an off day on Broad Street. It's the biggest news of the day, every day, with takes from someone who's never short on them. It's WIP Daily with Joe Giglio.
Welcome on in, WIP Daily, Joe Giglio with you. I appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following the podcast, of course, our YouTube feed, 94WIP. Check it out. There. All right, ton to talk about today. Obviously off an all-star game last night where the AL wins. All the Phils got themselves in the game. Strom and Sanchez and Hoffman, obviously, with the pitching department. Bryce with a double, some hits from everybody. Thought it was a cool inning with they were all mic'd up there together. So fun night last night watching the Major League Baseball all-star game. The other thing that was on last night, of course, was the Hard Knocks, the New York Giants off-season Hard Knocks. And the crux of that and why it's so interesting to watch is because really the center of it is Saquon Barkley's departure from New York and the signing here in Philadelphia and what went into the decision-making by the New York Giants and how he landed here with the Philadelphia Eagles. You know, they're one of their better players, if not the best player, certainly their most popular player, as the owner said last night. And it was, you know, real tug of war back and forth. You could hear it, you could feel it, you could see it within that front office, including the owner, on whether or not they should bring him back, how much they should offer him, and then the angst that he wasn't just leaving, but that he was going to leave to a division rival to come here to Philadelphia to play for the Eagles. So I got some takeaways just after watching and observing the first few episodes of this show, and really what it says about Saquon, what it says about the Eagles, and what it says about the New York Giants. So here's what's hit me watching Hard Knocks, the offseason, the Giants, and the Saquon stuff so far. First thing that's been evident to me from the start is Joe Shane, the general manager of the Giants, did not want Saquon Barkley back. It's so clear. And he danced around it. He politicked around it because a lot of people, it seemed like, within that Giants team, that front office, wanted Saquon Barkley back. And Shane didn't want to have to be the bad guy from day one saying, no, I don't want him. So he kind of just like, hey, we got to do this. Hey, we got to pay that. Hey, we paid our quarterback. Hey, we got to find out if he's the guy. Hey, we can go cheaper here. Hey, running backs at this age. I mean, it just felt like a soft, letting them down gently, the rest of the people in that front office. But as I watched it, I'm not surprised he's not there because the GM didn't want him there. You know, a year ago, they franchise tagged him. They could have re-signed him then. Then they had the season to get something done. They didn't do it then. Then the show began and the offseason began. They could have done something then and they didn't want to. It just felt like Joe Shane would have begrudgingly taken Saquon Barkley back if he came back for, you know, below his value, but he didn't really want him. So we could take that one of two ways. We could take that as, all right, well, a guy that, you know, has risen to become a GM, you know, in the NFL with a good team in Buffalo and put together a playoff team 2 years ago in New York and hired someone out of the Eagles front office, you know, all those things seem like testaments to someone who kind of knows what they're doing. He doesn't want him. All right, that's a little bit of raise an eyebrow. On the other hand, you could say Joe Shane hasn't done anything yet in the NFL and hasn't put together anything sustainable, and maybe he doesn't know what he's doing and he has a massive miscalculation here. But takeaway number one, it's so clear that the GM didn't want him back. The other thing that's obvious is that the owner did. I mean, John Mara, who's kind of a soft-spoken guy anyway, he's almost in tears the first few episodes. I mean, he doesn't want to overstep his bounds, and he doesn't want to step on the GM he hired to do the job. But it's pretty obvious he wants Saquon Barkley back. I mean, he has an affinity for the player, an affinity probably for the person, because everyone that has ever talked about Saquon says he's a really good guy and a hard worker and the kind of guy that you're probably happy is the face of your franchise or one of the faces of your franchise. So it's pretty clear John Mara wanted Saquon Barkley back, to the point where last night, you watch an episode and Mara says it's going to be hard for him to sleep at night if Saquon goes to the Eagles. It's, I think in that show, there's almost this backdrop. Well, if he doesn't sign with the Giants, well, where is he going to go? And it's like, well, if he ends up in Chicago or he ends up in Houston, okay. Kind of a little bit out of sight, out of mind. I mean, the NFL is a behemoth and the games are all on TV anyway, and Sunday Ticket and Red Zone. But it's a little bit out of sight, out of mind when it's out of your comfort, certainly with the Texans as one of the rumored teams in on Saquon, or the Chicago Bears, who are an NFC team but not a direct rival and not a team you see routinely like you do twice a year with the Philadelphia Eagles. So clearly the GM didn't want him, and clearly the owner did want him. Those two things stood out and have stood out the entire show. The other thing that hit me, another takeaway from listening to the back and forth between Shane and his front office and Mara is, and this is a tried and true NFL salary cap reality, if you pay the quarterback more than he's worth, it handcuffs everything. And that really, early in this series, is the backdrop of their strategy when it comes to how they're going to negotiate with Saquon Barkley, is they pay Daniel Jones a lot of money, 40-plus million per season to be their quarterback. And they're having cap issues around that now. And, they had to go and try to sign a defensive player. And they got Brian Burns. I think that's kind of like emerging now as the series goes on. And they had to go and add to their offensive line. They got John Runyon Jr., a guy that I thought could have been a good fit for the Eagles. So, when you pay the quarterback too much, it handcuffs everything. And that brings me to the Eagles. Did the Eagles pay Jalen Hurts too much? I mean, they paid him market value, but that doesn't mean Jalen Hurts is worth the 50-plus million he got per season. And Howie Roseman structures contracts really well, so the bulk of that cap hit doesn't arrive for the next couple seasons. But it will, and because of the way Howie does things, he's planning for that. So, and the same thing happened with Carson Wentz. You go back to circa 2019, circa 2020. If you didn't think the Eagles were making decisions because they knew Wentz's cap hit was going to rise in 21, 22, 23, then you're crazy. They knew it was, and they were making decisions based on that because they had to be prepared for that. And the Eagles are doing the same thing now. Is Hassan Reddick not here because of Jalen Hurts' contract? In part, I believe so, because you roll over cap room. Also, that potential second-round pick down the line could be a big player and a cheap player when Jalen Hurts' contract starts to balloon in a couple years. So every move, it's like it's this puzzle that just continues, and this picket fence that it's never ending. So yeah, they'd all match.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Now look, Jalen Hurts, I don't believe was worth the money last season. I thought 2 years ago he was worth a ton, and obviously wasn't getting paid much yet because he was on his rookie deal. We'll find out. But that principle that we saw in the discussions in Hard Knocks, where they basically felt handcuffed because they're paying Daniel Jones, well, the Eagles could feel that in a different way. Now, Hurts is better than Daniel Jones, obviously. Daniel Jones isn't very good. He's coming off an injury. But is Hurts worth the $50-plus million per season? I'd argue as every quarterback now starts to, you know, any quarterback of note, Trevor Lawrence, Jalen Hurts, Tua's going to get there next. Dak will get 60 probably. But as every quarterback of note, Cousins, gets to the $50 million-plus range and Dak could break 60 next year because he'll be a true free agent, you know, is it worth paying the 14th best quarterback in the NFL that kind of money? I'd argue it won't be in a couple years. So Jalen Hurts has to be better than that. So the other thing that hit me as I continue to kind of observe this show is the difference in where the franchises are, and it's why Howie Roseman is so good. When the deal came down, I didn't love paying a running back as much as the Eagles paid Saquon. And I thought they could have put their resources in different places. But the Eagles viewed Saquon, I think, as a luxury they could afford. The Giants obviously viewed him as they're in a different prism. You know, they're a team that's trying to figure themselves out and rebuild and get back to a level of respectability, you know, year in, year out. And they couldn't afford a luxury. You know, this is a testament to the Eagles, testament to Howie Rosen, the kind of team he's built, that they had the cap space and they had the team kind of in place. When you look at the areas they could have improved, they're not going to spend at linebacker. That's not what they do. Could they have gotten a more established right guard, you know, instead of Tyler Steen or Mekhi Becton? They could have, and that's a potential worry spot. Could they have spent more on defensive tackle with Fletcher out of the building? They could have. You know, they could have got a veteran there, but they're counting on their young guys between Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis and Milton Williams to step up. And you know, they could have got a Legarius Sneed, but they got a lot of young corners here. So you kind of look at the trouble spots, how they filled them, how they usually fill these spots, and they viewed Saquon as a luxury they could afford. Now, I would have probably diversified. I would have got a little bit of more veteran at right guard with some oomph there. John Runyon would have been someone I would have looked at absolutely. I would have gone with a little bit more oomph at linebacker. I would have gone with a little bit more of a veteran presence on the pass rush on the outside instead of just counting on Nolan Smith. I would have probably brought another defensive tackle. So and the third wide receiver. I would have diversified the money. Maybe not spend it on one guy instead of Saquon. I would have diversified the money, but obviously the Eagles believe this was a luxury they can afford. Another thing, this was crystal clear listening to John Mara in that episode talk about how, and he said, he like emphasized, by far the most popular player that the Giants have with Saquon Barkley. You know, we always have these conversations. Does our opinion as fans, does it matter to these teams? Do they care about what we think? You know, years ago, John Middleton referenced the WIP Morning Show Twitter poll with, you know, 10,000 or so votes on who people wanted here, Manny Machado or Bryce Harper. And obviously the Phillies ended up with Bryce Harper. I thought it was the right move from a baseball and a fan perspective, but it was the right move. But they referenced that poll, you know, that they noticed it. They heard about it. They, you know, however they saw it, or they were made aware of the discussion and how a good chunk, not a majority, but a good chunk of fans in that moment of time, how they were leaning, what they wanted. And you hear John Mara talk about how Saquon is their most popular player, and it hits you that as much as they like to run it like a business and be really smart and cold and calculated, and that's obviously Shane's job there, Howie's job here, you know, there is an element to he's popular. People like him. He sells jerseys. We want our fans to be happy. There's an element of that, and the Saquon really became the crux of that this offseason, not just in the NFCs, but I think the NFL, because, you know, he was a team's most popular player, and then he became the most exciting move the team made here in Philadelphia this offseason. What, you know, whether or not you believe Saquon's impact will be immense or good or solid or not good at all, wherever you land on that, there's no doubt. I mean, doing the show every day in March, there was no more excitement, and the Eagles probably felt they needed that off the end of last year than the day the Eagles signed Saquon Barkley. People were excited again about the Eagles, and that's part of this. It's not just, you know, it's not just a spreadsheet. There is something to the psyche of the fan base, and everyone was pretty darn upset after last year. And I thought it was an interesting juxtaposition as Saquon he was cold water thrown on a lot of people in New York, including the owner of the Giants, because he left. And he was a breath of fresh air here because it was the first fun thing to happen after the end of the season and the collapse last year. And the last thing that really hit me from last night's episode was that clip where Joe Shane is looking at his phone and then he's talking to his group, including Mara, and he says something to the effect of the Bears are raising the price on Saquon and the Eagles are out. And I wonder who sent him that. I'm guessing some sort of agent, someone in the know. But it's funny how we all get locked in, around free agency time as fans on the rumors, on the latest thing that this reporter said or that reporter said or that thing that's out there. And you always have the sense like the GMs are above it. They really know what's going on, or they don't like lock in every little thing that's said until the ink is dry, because it's all nonsense until the ink is dry. Well, that's not true. I mean, Joe Shane's reading a rumor on his phone, whether it's a personal text message or it's a report. I'm guessing it was more of a personal thing. And he's reacting to it just like you and I would. I thought that was wild. Like, he and probably other GMs are not above the fray. Like, whoa, what's happening? Who said this? And it's like you think they have a different pipeline information, and they probably do have a unique pipeline, but they're still also in a pipeline of information, and sometimes the information is wrong. Obviously, the Eagles are never out on Saquon. They got Saquon. I thought that whole thing was really funny. Big picture, I think the Hard Knocks offseason is a cool thing. I'd love the Eagles to be on it one day. I don't know if Howie and Jeff would ever agree, but I this is my favorite stuff, like the offseason stuff. I love that. In season, I haven't loved that Hard Knocks, not really into it. Obviously, the training camp one is good. I thought the Dan Campbell one was great a couple years ago with the Lions. I was at the Rex Ryan one when I was working and doing radio in New Jersey. The station I was on, we had the Jets as one of our affiliates. They were on one of the stations. So I got to go to the Hard Knocks one with the Jets. That was pretty cool. This year I'll watch the Bears one. But I think the offseason one is cool. I love that stuff with offseason and had decision making and free agency. So I thought it was a fun thing. And the Saquon thing makes it like I need to watch, because I want to see how Saquon truly ended up here. And the Giants did not look good in this whole thing. And the Eagles looked like they took advantage of what they thought was a distressed asset that still had a lot of good life left, and a franchise that's in a rut with the New York Giants. Appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following the podcast. We'll talk soon on WIP Daily.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.